Weekday on 4CA. John McKenzie, 1-300-872-911.
Now, I know people are saying, oh, we've had enough of Jess, but there's still things that need to be sorted out. We've got to have a bit of understanding in case one of these emergencies is just a year. Oh, who knows? It could be next season. It could be 10 seasons away, but we've got to learn from these bloody threats. Now, a couple of things went pretty badly wrong in the early stages of the approaches of Jasper to this part of the coast. There were misdirections. I'll get to that in a minute. But here's the coverage in the Cairns Post today of a council submission on these matters. Here we go. Samuel Davis wrote this morning, major shortcomings in emergency services response to tropical cyclone Jasper and flooding have been identified in the council's submission to the Inspector General of Emergency Management. Cairns councillors endorsed the submission to IGEM. Yesterday, it's reviewing Queensland's 23-24 severe weather season with actions to improve the state's preparedness. It goes on to say a critically ineffective Australian warning system, unreliable weather information, a lack of Far North forecasters, and the absence of key local disaster management group members were highlighted by the council in its submission as major challenges during the natural disaster. It also called out an over-reliance on AWS communications impacting the ability to issue localised warnings and poorly coordinated and inadequately resourced personnel and equipment. Now, we'll get down to what all this means in just a moment. The damage bill for the cyclone and flood topped $1,000 million. There's a fair bit more of this that we'll cut to the chase, though. The council is advertising for a new disaster coordinator. Now, as soon as we hark our minds back to that particular day with the approach of the cyclone, I mean, people who've been around for a while know these bloody things are dangerous. So locals that know the danger took precautions of their own. They've had practice at it before. Other people who were new to town and those visiting were totally confused by the issuing of a couple of warnings. I think the first one, I can't remember what time was, word went out, and on this radio station too, I'm presuming, not that I was on air at the time, that word went out that electricity was going to be cut at a certain time in certain parts of the city because of the prospect of inundation. The tide was going to flood a significant area of the city. That was one of them. Then there was a council map that was out at, I think the houses all got it. I must admit I didn't have mine handy, but there was a particular shaded area on that map that showed that those suburbs in that particular shaded area were prospects for inundation to some depth, which meant they called for an evacuation of people in those areas. Now, both of those messages went out. They were, I presume, abided by some people. Other people just ignored them. And as it turned out, one was a fizzer. He later said, oh, no, and the message came through on the electricity cutting. The electricity being cut was a mistake. It came out of Brisbane and should have been ignored. So that was withdrawn at some stage through the afternoon. With the evacuation warning, if you like, some people, I presume, took notice of it. Lots of people didn't. As it turned out, there were no significant flooding. There was no significant flooding in those shaded areas that I heard of. Now, I've got the lady I want to talk to on this matter, because she's been through it. She's very much across all aspects of, well, not all aspects, but I presume just about all aspects of the approach of that bloody cyclone last year. And she's been really helpful since then with coverage of the recovery. She's Division 8's Councillor Rhonda Coughlan, and she's on the line. Rhonda, good morning.
Good morning, John.
I've just gone through that afternoon, and it's probably bringing back horrible memories for some people, but so be it, because we've got to learn from that afternoon. Can you step us through, well, the misdirections, if you like? The first one was the electricity being cut warning. Do you remember the details of that being issued?
I do remember that, and it did come out of Brisbane, and it was by the emergency. I think it was a miscommunication. So what Ergon says is, in the case of a flooding, they can cut electricity without notice. And that's because if flooding blows it, you know, it could mean weeks before the electricity comes back on. If they switch it off and protect it, when the water goes down, they can turn it back on again.
Yeah.
So that is the situation, and at that point, no electricity was about to be cut off.
Mm.
So it wasn't clear. It was a misdirection, I agree.
I'm presuming a lot of people responded by leaving work and racing home to obviously cut off their power or whatever, so it wasn't going to create danger or more damage. Did you get feedback on how many people responded to the warning?
Look, we got some feedback. I think non-compliance or complacency is probably more of an issue, and it's because of misdirections like that, you know, when they turn out to not be true.
Okay.
You know, that is what causes a lot of complacency, you know, more. And the warnings for the tidal surge during a lot of people, there's definitely an education issue out there, because so many people say my house flooded and I don't live in a yellow or red zone. Yellow and red zone, those red and yellow maps are for tidal surge, which was an issue during the cyclone. The blue map is the Riverina flooding map, which is what caused the real issue a few days later, when after all of that rain, which was post-cyclone. So there are two, and I think that's the first time we can remember that we've had those two issues coinciding, but people really didn't understand the difference between the tidal surge map and Riverina flooding. Largely, if you look at a Q100 or a 1% map, which is a blue map, exactly what it says will happen pretty much. It's all of that blue shaded area is what went underwater.
Yeah. Now, the other one was some, I can't remember the exact timing of it, but word went around, look, if you're in such and such an area, I think there were suburbs like to the north of the CBD, if I remember rightly, there's an evacuation order going out, leave now for your own safety, etc. Can you step us through that one?
Look, the AWS system was so frustrating for the LDMG that day. We were the first area or the first region to try it out. I think Townsville was second when they got Kiralee, and they had a fairly ineffective use of it as well. But it gave us no control. And we also didn't have control of the area. Like, it was like a mass release of that. I think there's been strong recognition across the state and across the federally that it has been ineffective. It was designed for all disasters.
Yeah.
So the same warning system for flooding, for drought, for bushfire, etc. Well, we clearly need to have different systems in place and different messaging is what we're looking for. And we're looking for more control out of North Queensland where we actually know what's happening.
From your memory, what sort of numbers responded to that warning to fundamentally pack up and shoot through?
Well, with the flood, the problem was they couldn't. They couldn't get out of Holloway's Beach, Yorkeys Knob and Machin's Beach.
Yeah.
So they were already flooded in from the cyclone, which everybody expected and no one was too stressed about because it happens, you know, often in that kind of scenario.
Yeah.
There wasn't too much damage. I think most people were pretty comfortable with that. But by the time we knew that it was a Q100 from the bomb, because they had lost all their reading material on the Barron River, so they were flying blind.
Oh, okay.
Therefore, their messaging to us, we were flying blind. By the time we were told that, no, this isn't a Q50 or a 50-year flood, it's a Q100, and by the way, we've surpassed it, we were already getting phone calls from people saying we've got water up to our waist.
Wow.
So then those messages went out to say, evacuate, go to higher ground. Well, John, it was way too late.
Yeah.
And they could not go anywhere.
So they obviously were horrified, terrified at the prospect of going under completely.
For sure. As we were terrified for the prospects of those people that had no warning. And we had no warning. They're really, you know, there was so much was ineffective. And then you add to that Telstra went down in lots of areas. So all of the beaches areas, apparently when the power goes off, they're on battery backup, and the backup only lasts for X amount of hours.
Yes.
So people didn't get those alerts to evacuate or to not to evacuate until the power came on or they managed to get their phone charged. So, you know, there were so many things. Everyone was ready for the cyclone. I will say everyone was prepared for that. We know that from our waste centres that in the 2 weeks in the lead up to the cyclone, when we knew that it was out there, people were backed up, you know, kilometres down the street getting rid of their green waste and cleaning up the yard. And largely everyone did the right thing for the cyclone.
Yes.
No one was prepared for what followed.
Do you know, this has taken my breath away in some ways. I mean, at the end of this, we thought, this has been absolutely catastrophic. And we're talking about $1 billion, $1,000 million damage. But after listening to you, I'm thinking, my God, it could have been a lot worse. In some ways, we've dodged a bullet.
John, you know, our first priority was no loss of life.
Yes.
And we are so lucky.
Yes.
And, you know, that the community look after each other.
Yes.
Everyone jumped in. You know, we had the Navy, we had Alfonso send boats out, you know, swift water rescue boats. Mm. And there were so many people jumped in to help other people that, you know, that's what's ensured. And that's what's important. Mm. We need to create resilience, not dependence. We should know our neighbours. We should know that if there's someone next door that's vulnerable, we go and check on them.
Yes.
That's what we do in Australia.
Mm.
We help one another.
This has been a really remarkable update, Rhonda. I really appreciate this. When the decisions are made on where we're going with the future of these safeguards, can you come back on air and step us through them? Because obviously they're going to be quite extensive and hopefully effective.
We'll have to do it
a different day.
Straight after the cyclone, the mayor, who was the chair of the LDMG and the CEO, called for a Forge report review on the after actions.
Yes.
And there's 17 recommendations, and we've already started implementing those.
Wonderful.
So, yes.
When you get time and I get time, we'll just push for time today, but this has been an outstanding update. Really appreciate it, Rhonda. Thank you.
Thanks, John.
Jeez, and doesn't that take us all back? And isn't it critically important information? And so well conveyed by Councillor Rhonda Coghlan. We'll get together again soon when we've got a bit more time on these very, very important matters for our community.